who are passing through and are giving us a chance to hear their work. And excited to have you here to hear it. So we're going to do sort of two small breaks in between this time, just because a couple of people are doing multimedia stuff. But first, Jen Tynes will be reading, and then we'll take a tiny break for reorientation so that Jen can put stuff, show us some slides as part of hers.
And we're in this experimental space. Usually we've been in three different rooms in this building over the last 4 years, and now we're finally in the hallway. you know, we're going to have an event in January, but...
Where?
Possibly somebody's roof. This space does come with an alcove, so if you need any kind of nestling comfort, steal off into there for a moment. Two poets have books for sale over there. And there's also a pitcher that you can put some money in. We have some two out-of-towners and a band, so please give all of your money to them.
Anything you put in there for either the beer or the like donation fee, this goes back to the artist in the space. So.
Well, true. And you can imagine how much we're going to give the space for that. So, please welcome Jen.
From a new series that I'm working on, and it's called Pins and Needles. And it started off being a sort of mystery, crime story kind of thing in verse, because I was reading Gertrude Stein's Blood on the Dining Room Floor, which I don't know if a lot of people have read. It's kind of not a very well-known book of hers. It just recently got reissued, so you can buy it now. For a while, it wasn't available. You could find it online in a PDF or something. But reading Gertrude Stein writing a crime story was sort of interesting in terms of thinking about, I started thinking about slang and slang's relationship to mystery and how important it is, I mean, in terms of the mystery story, like the genre, but also mystery, you know, capital M mystery, and how important slang is to us figuring that out. So these poems keep kind of changing, and right now they're very slangy. They're playing around with slang a lot. And also, during the summer, I was reading for my, I'm in a PhD program, and I was reading for my comp exams, and so I was spending most of the day kind of thinking of reasons not to read, and then I would get really tired of spending all day thinking of reasons not to read, and so then I was spending the evening watching movies, mostly like noir stuff, and especially Hitchcock stuff. I started watching all of the Hitchcock stuff this summer, and I got really interested in this this character, especially I'm thinking of in Strangers on the Train and Shadow of a Doubt, this little sister character who's very sort of like Bobby Sox, and she's sort of like a child, you know, in a lot of ways. But she has all of this kind of unwholesome knowledge, like she can tell you how many people were killed in Minnesota that year or something, you know? And she's kind of like this punchline in a lot of scenes, which is kind of fascinating to me, like what she's doing there. So I was kind of thinking about a lot of these poems in her voice, like her voice kind of keeps moving in and out. So I'm going to read you a couple of a few poems from that series. Long black socks of dawn let the cat back into them slowly, arguable way of walking. Floozy cleansered away inside the barn eye, don't street me like this. Don't sour Susie just to cook. An upside down pound cake for brain, pickle, candy, cotton to you. Don't let the iron lung out of the wall. I am a heavy tool and dying to tea together. Don't sour Susie gesticulating with your gobstopper, your dangling spur. The horse goes down, a blow dart hits us in the gate, and we turn into vegetable gardens. Susie grows some new skin so we can scrape the paint off. Strangers don't make many passes under neon ladders, not that we don't ring out cautiously, peeper-like. A Tom just needs to be shadowed a little, a Jerry to keep from gathering a mold. Every tool we use circles and rings new measurements out of us. Before long, there's an extra room to make up inside of, while the outside goes puce. At night, I pluck the monsters from her hair and weight them down with soap bubbles. Not my fault, my rung set uneven. Yelling upward about my sister until a bell pattern begins deranging. There are cows grazing all over my sister's underwear, but Susie knows nothing about it beyond the sound of their chewing, which is like a lullaby. Good night, moon. Good night, lace. Good night, undone panels glowing white after the incident. In the back of the room, I screwed up my wood and disembodied the bird feeders. Seated, sequined, upset apple cart, we keep a little house full of cobs. We keep wedding dresses out of some of the elements along with our body bags, waxed cylinders, sticky bars, cerulean tags for wool. We haul beds full of power suits back to the homestead. We keep a singing saw on the sleeping porch and stalk Jubilee with our starches. We keep gin in our spray bottles and peach Kleenexes up our sleeves for keeping away the bloodsuckers. Can you guys hear me okay? It's really weird with this echo. Okay, good. All right. Moses was supposed to come down here last night to teach us a few things about rewiring. The piano has been closed so long it's ingrown chin hairs. The moss on this operetta makes everyone sound like beating shot. I've kept back some stone fruit cobblers of my industry for the asking. When Moses finally hears about it, red effacements all around. Frustrated blueprint gets the ball rolling. Our backyard bird is not a rotating hybrid, but a selfish collector of inherited bling. I wish when I am encrusted that I still know how to jingle, the family value fitted for a stockier type. I got the fisheye passed down, pigtails mentholated into semicircle pillaging. I am always the photographer due to my gnarly POV, my ability to remember what happens next. Pocketed with sore feelings, we chuck and Charles each other on the shoulders until a rhythm develops. We all shucks the neighbors, find a worm. Our one pink party dress is accidental, lean, photographed. Cherry, almond-centered hand soap makes me sick about flying out at you. Mad as a wet pyramid of overexposed cocktail crimp. To be wed of a kerosene smell, of souvenirs inside the blood, drawer painted shut. Is it tacky to tarry outside your boudoir in my galoshes? Anything resembles a Cavendish when its teeth and skin zip are up into revolution. To beam, wed of the necessary hardness of a soft palate, to be unable to say them in separation. I take the tender of my mouth and buy myself out of this high, soft hallway. The shaved Iceman saw everything, so I said we were related, and I flashed my medallion and spit-took some cherry spritzer, then got on the whirligig with its obscene, stippled mural, and I looked at the girlies and I sang one of those songs about big bruiser aliens with eyes like smoked almonds that you have to create a vacuum at the back of your tongue for. And I didn't tell anyone about the pie plate situation, but I was like a scarecrow telegraphing for cracked miles. And during the chorus, I asked myself, why was there no interference? Why did every damn party line have to pick up? Lucky for me, that's exactly how the song goes. So when I did finally stop singing, it took hours to catch on. So I'm also gonna read a few poems from a big project that I'm working on, sort of an epic-ish poem with Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla as characters, looking at sort of the idea of genius and electrification and all of those things, especially the idea of the genius in America and where ideas come from and the laboratory and all that business. A couple of the ones that I'm reading today are actually coming out of looking at some of Edison's really early films. It's sort of amazing, like the first couple of films that he made are just a couple of seconds long, and it's so, Edison is horrible in a lot of ways, but these first films just, like there are two that are both just a few seconds, and one of them is a man and one of them is a woman, and you can't, the lighting is still so poor in those early ones that you really just see this blackness, and there's these kind of flashing lights that kind of look like stars, and there's a man doing this. And then there's a woman doing this. Just the first two. And it's sort of like the beginning of the world or something. You know, and I love them. And there are a bunch of other, like, they get a little more complicated and a little more, you know, there's more detail and there's more, you can see more as they go on. But those fascinate me. So I've written a lot of little pieces in response to some of his films, and some of these are those. This first one is actually, it's called U.S. Patent 0222881, and that is Edison's patent for this generator, a bipolar magnetic generator. And in the laboratory, they nicknamed it Long-Legged Marianne because it's got these two long magnets. So this is for Long-Legged Marianne. I sleep like a string of pearls outside the river. I'm made of contracts with the circuit court, and knowing how to break a sparkling wine toast with my eyeballs rolled back in my head. Babies come on little condensation feet, and my lip is smeared until it lows for my choppers. The natural speech of extension cords snapping brick and mortar. Oh, gentlemen, a bull once when I was meandering. A ginger when I was a tent. What will burn without burning up? Of electricity engendering the house, bite the hand. Invite a woman's high, lonesome sound. Land on its feet, piss in the house. Slap back your cherry hair for the audience. No man is an everyman for the cat, for the island, a strand of pin feathers, hunch of needles. The cat is very apt to pine. Oh Lord, the house's vowels have gone to good use. Its vowels have uvulated and burned. Gentlemen, visit the fireball. Poor Richard talked through his hat. Miss Catherine, a key on a string. Fat napkins gather at the elbow like packages, slick surfaces duress. Oh Lord, find the filament's material. To wiggle around when you attempt to find the house, cut your earrings off, or gentlemen, when they dance. No bones after the fireball, the bird in vest pockets, in peep show booths, they watched an assistant sneeze. Connection made through rolls of wet cotton waste. Oh Lord, apply the electrode.